Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 31, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For May 15, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I thought by now you'd realize there ain't no way to hide O'Brien eyes. Eagles. That is courtesy of There Ain't No Lobos, a.k.a. at No Lobos. That guy does not want there to be Lobos. It was pretty, man.
I don't
understand why anyone's laughing. That was beautiful. Been practicing that for weeks. And we are thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Honestly, I don't know how to follow up that AKA, so I'm going to just say hi. It's me, Miles, the AKA, the man in awe of Jack's rendition of that AKA. Wow.
Eagles, man. What a band. Am I right?
Yeah. I feel like the Big Lebowski gave me the anti-Eagles sentiment.
I feel like it hurt the Eagles with a generation, but he's absolutely right that the Eagles fucking suck.
Also, when the Hell Freezes Over tour happened, I was like a kid, I was like a teenager, and I remember all these adults were like, oh, the Hell Freezes. I was like, fuck that. I always grew up with like this weird anti-Eagles shit.
They're the apotheosis of like toxic masculinity as it expressed itself in that like hippie fucking, you know, free love culture.
Right.
Yeah, those guys.
Free
suck.
Love to a point. You know, if it's free for whatever the dude wants.
Right.
Shout out to DJ Khaled.
Trading women in card games.
Wait, what?
That was supposedly based on them, the thing from Almost Famous, where they traded like a groupie in a lost a groupie in a poker game. That was supposedly based on them.
I believe it.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, one of the very culture kings himself. He is Mr. Edgar Montplaisir.
Oingo boingo. Where's Jamie Loftus at? I got some words for her.
Yeah.
A lot of people are coming for that throne. Edgar, nobody is close. You're close.
Edgar is the closest. Second when it comes to appearances on the Daily Zeitgeist. But, yes. I mean, nobody can compete.
Nobody beats the biz.
With the Loftus.
Although, he hasn't been in 4 minutes. So.
I know.
The gatekeepers are trying to keep me out. There's a Jamie Loftus bias in this industry. And, you know, I have to fight it every day. Every day I go to a job and they're just like, I'm sorry, but you're not Jamie Loftus.
Right.
You
yeah.
can't have this job. You know what I mean?
Like this role was for a Haitian American man in his 20s.
We're Jamie Loftus watching this role.
Yeah. Right.
Loft watching.
Edgar. What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Man, I always know that this is one I miss every time because I don't know, like, I forget that that's what we do.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then I never.
And this is why we love to have you back because you seamlessly fit in the show. You already know the structure. You always prepared.
Yeah, always prepared.
I've been trying to find out this 14-year-old trap rapper that I saw one time. And I can't find him anywhere. It's this little black kid. Like he has dreads. This nigga can't be more than 5'1". But he's like one of the hardest trap rappers I've ever seen. And someone showed me a video, and I've been trying to find him again, and I can't find him.
Uh-oh.
But the video is like him driving a car, and he's like definitely not tall enough to drive a
right,
car,
right,
and
right.
he's drinking scissor, and he's talking about skipping school and shit like
he's
that.
He's sipping lean, driving a car.
Correct.
Talking about skipping school,
that's
and
correct.
He has like the short round blocks on his feet from Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
his pedals and
yeah, yeah. And he's shirtless.
Oh, I love that shit.
But I can't
but
find
he's good?
Him. I
so
can't.
Stupid.
I don't know if he's good. I was just so blown away by it. Like
this
like, is
who
a
the,
child,
right?
The
who is behind
aesthetic
this?
Choices?
Yeah, because I wanted to find him. I forgot. Well, I was trying to tell somebody about him. I was like, "Yo, have you heard of this nigga?" But I can't find him.
Well,
so,
you know what? That's a Zeit Gang challenge. I'm sure somebody has seen it.
Yes.
Hit us with that reference, because I feel like you know, there's like this whole wave of young trappers who I'm not sure have ever trapped a day in their life.
No, this nigga's real.
So you could tell he's 14.
He bangs.
Does he have tattoos?
Yeah,
already?
He bangs.
Face?
You can tell
you
that
know he's 14?
Listen, you remember how you could look at Lil Wayne and you could be like, this nigga's been through some shit? That's how I look at this kid. No, Lil Wayne, come on, bro.
But he got famous relatively young, though, too.
He got technically raped when he was 13 years old.
Okay.
And what I mean by technically is that he was a kid, and then Birdman was just like, hey, you ever had your dick sucked before and had a prostitute suck his dick in front of everybody?
Is that a... What's that? What,
I learned about that from the Carter. Have you guys ever seen that documentary?
No, no, I
not didn't. The Carter, the one that MTV did, which is whack.
Yeah.
This is one, T-H-E-C-A-R-T-E. C-A-R-T-E-R. Here's how you know it's good. Lil Wayne tried to sue them to make sure it didn't come out.
Oh, ooh, right. No, I knew about that. For some reason,
it's
I didn't
pure
watch
cinema
it.
Verite. What yeah. these guys did is they just put the cameras on him, and the way they got their interviews were anytime he was being interviewed by like a news reporter or something like that, they would record those. And that's how they got their talking heads.
Got
but
you.
It's pure cinema verite. Like, oh man, it's
okay.
It makes you hate Lil Wayne.
Really?
Because you just see that, like, he's just crazy and yeah. he's an asshole and like, yeah, right. It's wild.
Is he just constantly fucked up?
Like, yeah,
yeah.
Always on the
scene. Yeah, so that's why he's always yeah he's having exhaustion a lot.
I mean, mm-hmm.
those aren't lean induced seizures.
No,
that's just a dude who's like in the throes of like a terrible addiction. And yeah. nobody yeah. oh, can yeah. like get to him and like get him help because he's just like that famous or something.
Yeah, and he's locked into a contract he doesn't want to be in.
Hmm. That sucks. What is something that's overrated?
Man, I know some people are going to be upset at me for this, but man, reality competition shows, bruh. Reality competition shows are whack. Listen, I'm tired of seeing your Instagram stories of you and your friends watching Dancing with the Stars or American Idol or The Bachelor. I hate all of it. It's mm-hmm. all stupid.
Woo!
It's all
some
terrible.
Fight words around here.
Let's bring substance back to television.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you propose?
I want to say.
So if that's what's the air that's breathing up all these reality competition
what's
shows?
The air?
Yeah,
they're
like
cheap.
No, but I'm saying like that's taking the space of something that you think is
oh, yeah,
more
yeah.
worthy of our
I
attention.
Think for every one reality competition show, we should have two Atlantas.
Damn. Okay.
Like we can have that, but let's bring some substance out, man. You know what I'm saying? Like I think that they're winning. I think these reality competition shows are getting us so close to like some Hunger Games type shit that we don't even realize it.
Oh, eventually, yeah. I mean, we're
they're dumbing us down.
Nearly doing the Running Man. The Running Man film will be a real life thing.
That's
eventually.
How that's how we're gonna pick the next president in 2020.
It's just like yeah,
just Running Man
yeah.
style.
Yeah.
Woo. God. I mean, yeah. I don't know if the president could even run, but that would be interesting.
I mean, somebody needs to test that theory that we've been talking about that like he believes that he's that
good
he believes
sports?
He's good at sports and that he could like make a Major League Baseball team if he just tried out. Like
yeah.
somebody needs to
he's
be
not
like,
saying that
you
now.
Should make the next election a physical competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Like some American Gladiators type shit.
Yeah. I feel
remember
like he
show?
Might fall
oh,
for
I
that
love
shit.
Gladiators ready.
Yeah.
I'm
I
all
like
about
that
American
Gatling
Gladiators.
Gun that they would have with the Nerf balls in it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just a matter of time you're saying before that becomes
an actual gun.
And
yeah, because like
who are just trying to get like health care.
I was watching Dancing with the Stars. And I was I watch people's Instagram stories every morning. I take a poop and I watch all of you guys' Instagram stories.
Thank you.
Good to know.
And I was watching somebody cheer the fuck on for Tonya Harding. And I was like, what is happening?
Right.
This is Tonya Harding. And you guys are going wild, being like, oh, look at her do this step. And I'm like, yo, okay. Like,
is there a reality show that you like, though? Like, reality competition show that you would?
There's one that I like,
everyone
and
has
it's so
shit,
trash.
Like, exactly. So this is my favorite thing about these kinds of sentiments, right? Is like, there's ones you don't like, but then there's the ones that you do like, and you probably don't.
It's on MTV. What's it called? Oh, man.
Are You the One?
Are You the One?
Yes!
What is
Are You
the One?
Yo, I watch
that
shit, too.
Okay, I'll explain it.
Oh,
my
God.
It's very simple.
It's ridiculous.
You get 10 guys and 10 girls, and you lock them in this house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go...
And then you don't feed them. Hold on.
You're missing a few operative adjectives. 10 emotionally stunted men and 10 emotionally stunted women
that
who are very desperate for a connection.
That's correct. And then what you do is you tell them that you've had like matchmakers and psychologists and love gurus. Guarantee them that within this house they have a perfect match. There are 10 perfect matches in this house. But there's only one way to find out. And it's to send someone into the truth booth where you can only do it once a week. So here's what always happens. You're trying to get these 10 perfect matches so you guys can split $1 million. And what always happens is that first match that they send into the truth booth, everyone's just like, yo, these people are in love. We know it certainly. They're definitely in love. And they go into the truth booth, then they're 100% not a match.
Uh-huh.
But those two people are like, yo,
we
really
love
each other. So we're not going to partake.
Fuck what the booth says.
Yeah. We're not going to partake in any of the competitions. We're not going to date anybody else. It's just going to be us. And the rest of the show is everybody else trying to convince that one pair not to be together anymore so they can find
because
the actual
perfect
like, matches.
At the end of every episode, what they do is like if they win a challenge, they can send someone in the truth booth to begin like figuring out who's a match. And then at the end, they all have to go to this like ceremony where they all pair off together and sit down. And then like
submit like a list of pairs. Yeah.
Yeah. Lights go on to tell you how many matches you get.
But you don't know who they are.
Right.
So you're just like, oh, we got four right this week. We don't know who the pairs are. So you need to be mixing it up every week.
Right.
But that one fucking couple's just like, nah.
And it's just funny.
I love them. I love him. I'm not going to separate. I don't care about the money. And then everyone's like, yo, bitch,
yo,
you better be
up
about the money.
Right.
Yeah.
It's crazy too, because a lot of people, you see how they're like, how they really repeat their patterns. They're like, you know, I always date guys like this and I'm really worried about a lot. And then they just end up falling for them anyway and fucking.
How long are they locked in?
10 weeks.
Yeah, it's like a 10-episode show.
Oh, and each week is a episode
type
thing?
If you just basically want to, like, what it, for me,
riveting.
The thing I love about it for being in my early 30s now is, like, looking back and realizing the chaos that you have mentally of, like, trying to, like, you know, if you really want your match or what it means to date or how you even process. So you're like, oh, wow, like I always date really shitty people or whatever. And how these people completely disregard that because they just feel like, well, my perfect match is here. So I'm just going to project that onto you.
It's a microcosm of dating in your 20s because truly like everyone around them is just like, yo, this person's trash.
Right.
And you're stepping in our way of success by dating this person. But they're like, I don't care.
I don't care what anyone says.
It's always one ugly person every season who knows that like, it's going to be hard for them to find their match, and they're all about the money. Like, that's all they care about. So they're always the person being like, yo, let's get this money. Let's get this money, because they know that.
But there is somebody else who has statistically or, you know, scientifically, like very loosely termed scientifically, been deemed to be the ugly person's match.
Yeah,
everybody's worried that it's them.
Yes, everyone's avoiding that person and not trying to, dog, it's so.
But then people come around too, you know, because then people are like, man, I really was actually feeling that person.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to be honest with myself.
Remember that one time they added an 11th girl?
Yeah, that was a problem.
That was a very,
very,
very dope
season. Our reality competition shows up.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You just don't like.
Except for this one.
You know what overrated was? People putting Dancing with the Stars
on their Instagram.
I want to apologize to Anna Hosni if I offended her by bringing up The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know what? But you know, you're overrated on this show isn't going to stop her check from
Our
coming
super
in.
Producer.
She's
super producer.
It never
Hosnia
stops.
Is,
you host, you produce a Bachelor podcast, right? What is it called?
It's called Will You Accept This Rose?
Okay.
And it's hosted by
Art and Marina.
Uh-huh. Okay. So it's not on this network, but you know, we show love anyway.
What's something that's underrated?
Oh, man. You know what? I understand the pain of somebody looking at you and realizing that you're not, like, they don't see what you're actually worth. I know what it's like to be in a room and have people not care about you and not realize how great you are. And I am disgusted with America and how we have disrespected Kevin Durant.
Oh, my
and
God.
And we have not. And we have not given him his just due. And my guy had to drop 37 on him for y'all to be like, oh, I guess he is MVP. I guess he is great. He has always been great. To quote a great, great football coach, Kevin Durant has always been who he thought he was. He's always been who we thought he was.
The Durantula.
And he went off last night. He showed his ex-teammate James Harden what's good. He said, I don't care. Put you on me. Put Nene. Put Mbamute. Rockets have the most niggas
Luke
on their
Richard
team.
Mbamute.
Hard names to pronounce.
Yeah.
From UCLA. Shout out to him. I think he's actually a prince.
So.
I'm serious. In Cameroon.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant is...
That's a movie right there. I don't want to take over the kingdom.
Yeah.
I want to play basketball.
I want to play at UCLA.
He is also the most recent iteration of the thing we see from time to time, which is the NBA athlete who like needs to be motivated and like isn't motivated for most of the season.
Oh,
and then like needs people to be like, come on, man, try this time.
Toxic.
And then
toxic masculinity coming from Jack
finally,
O'Brien.
Why is that toxic?
You can't have men supporting other men.
No.
You can't have another
men trying to tear each other down.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you got to be your own alpha dog. It's got to be. No. You know what? I would appreciate if Jack would text me every now and then and say, yo, Edgar, you're not stepping it up on Culture Kings. I need you to be your best on Culture Kings. That would make
you
feel good.
I need you to want this.
I need you to want this. That would feel good.
Show them who you are.
But we don't like that. We don't like other men supporting other men. We bash on it and we don't like it. It's why everybody used to come after one of my favorite Duke basketball players ever. I can't remember his name right now.
Yeah,
Christian Laettner.
Yeah. Oh, Christian Laettner.
When he would hold hands with homeboy and walk around, everybody was hating on them because we don't like men supporting other men.
Yeah. No, I agree that Kevin Durant is the Christian Laettner of the modern NBA. And, all right, let's move on. No,
How did he get on the
Dream
Team?
I respect the hell out of Kevin Durant's game, and the Warriors are one of the best teams that's ever played basketball. It's just disappointing to me as an NBA fan that there's not the equivalent team that is going to at least this appears to be so, and we always overreact to a single game, but it appears as though they're going to, you know, just win the championship walking.
I mean, listen, I'm still scared. To be honest with you, I'm still scared. I don't know if we walk out of this series, but I'm very happy that he put up that performance last night the to NBA, hush up certain Twitter haters.
The NBA is at its
Kevin Chestnut,
peak of...
Carl Tart.
The NBA is at its peak of interestingness and, like, the player... peak talent. Like, this is the best the league has ever been. It just sucks that we're in an era like when the Celtics were winning every year back in the, what was that, like 50s or something?
Right.
When there were only six teams. Where there's, like, a super team that, you know, it's going to be a huge upset if anybody besides them wins. All right. What is a myth, Edgar? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I had to spend a lot of time on this one, and I spent the night thinking about this one. And this is a myth that recently came up to my attention. This is a myth that Ana Salinas wears the pants in our relationship.
So you're laying the gauntlet down.
And I want to directly address...
So now let people know who Ana Salinas is, and this is, there's been an epic sort of goings on Twitter, I feel like.
Yes. Ana Salinas is at Bad Comics by Ana, which is my girlfriend.
With an X.
Very talented comics artist.
And a lot of people. Yeah. And a lot of people are acting out like, you know, she's the king and she's been roasting me and she's been doing all this
thing. She came on Culture Kings and dragged you.
This is all by design, okay? I designed all of this. I'm trying to help out her career, and I don't like that this is turning out into...
Wow, that's peak toxic masculinity right there, Cam. You turned you're dragging into, I'm actually empowering her, and I'm letting her improve her career.
Letting her win.
That's good. Actually, put all this down, so when she comes on, she will be on this week, we can play this tape back.
Play it back.
And then she can just...
Play, no, right. She won't. What she'll say is, I would like to thank Edgar for the opportunities that he's given me. Behind every behind every strong woman is a man who said, yo, that's dope that you're doing that.
Yep. I do like that. I do like that you reversed that.
Smacked it up, flipped it, and rubbed it down.
Okay.
Way to go.
All right.
We
will get the other side of this myth when...
Stay tuned. What is that? Going to be on Thursday?
I think tomorrow or 2 days from
now. Yeah, two days from now.
All right.
The spicy conclusion.
Same goes for Lacey.
Oh, shit.
What? doesn't even make sense.
Guys,
Lacey is our guest tomorrow.
He's laying down the foundation for a really great week of shows this
week.
Yeah, so
the next two shows will mostly be about Edgar.
Which is actually genius because now he's taken these other people's guest spots and now made it about him.
Right.
I'm Thanos up in these streets.
Very Trumpian.
All right, we're trying to take a sample of the global shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now, today. And we wanted to start out with a issue that Trump is stepping up on, jobs in China.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's right, because it's make America first, I think he was really campaigning on that and bringing the jobs back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was tweeting about how this company, ZTE, a telecoms company, you know, a lot of lost jobs in China. We got to do something about it. Very bizarre. Everyone was scratching their heads. They're saying, why is the U.S. president trying to act like he's concerned about lost jobs in China? Well, this company, ZTE, is a telecoms company. They're owned by the Chinese government, and they've been very bad the last few years. They were doing business with countries like North Korea and Iran, which they're sanctioned countries. But they kept going anyway, and the Commerce Department was like, yo, we got to fine you because you're violating our laws. That's a $1.2 billion fine, fam. And on top of that, we're going to give you the death kiss, which means they're also going to prohibit that company from using U.S. parts because they make smartphones for any of their product, which is essentially going to completely destroy the business.
Mm. Right.
And so suddenly, like, Donald Trump is saying, like, yo, we actually got to do something about this. So he basically instructed the Commerce Department to, I guess, basically ignore the law. And then we come to find out that the Chinese government has basically offered Donald Trump $500 million in funding for this, like, weird hotel theme park golf course Disneyland thing he's got going on in Indonesia.
There's a Trump Disneyland?
I mean, basically, it's just golf course and like white people calling the police on brown people.
That sounds dope.
Yeah, so suddenly like there's like, wait, what? What is this funding coming from? So some people say, is this just a massive pay-for-play scheme? Is this part of like the bigger trade war thing? And some people, if you're looking at it in like the trade war context, yes, to disrupt the supply line for a company is like a very big deal because most things that we manufacture, not everything is being made in one country. Sometimes parts, things that we manufacture here in the United States, we need parts that come from Europe or from Asia or whatever to manufacture these things. And so we're going into trade talks with China. Is this to basically not have them completely retaliate? Because, I mean, if you think about it, for the amount of sort of manufacturing components that we rely on China for, they could do like in-kind retaliation, and that would be catastrophic for just global business in general. So, yeah, I don't know.
I got a couple of questions for you guys, because you guys are two of the smartest people that I know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That is really not good for you.
I've been driving a lot lately. Oh, well, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. Water is wet. You've been...
Whoa. Hey, write that down, man.
I've been driving a lot lately, and I've been listening to NPR in my car. And I heard them say that this is upsetting both people across the aisles. And specifically, the most hydrated person in Congress ever, Marco Rubio, said that ZTE is doing espionage. Yeah. What's he mean by that?
Well, they're concerned that a lot of these devices they make can be sending information back or whatever. They can be like, they just don't trust this company for us to be using as like to communicate with.
This is some House of Cards shit.
Yeah, yeah, no, they just China see the potential security risk in a lot of these products.
Right.
And I think in the UK too, their intelligence community has also been like, we have our eye on ZTE.
Right. And China is been known to, you know, spy on American companies, which is where most of our innovation and, you know, technological progress is being held, is in our private companies. But because China is state run, you know, they can actually spy, steal intelligence, steal information, and then just use it themselves.
So this is like in The Dark Knight, where he has his phone and he puts his phone in the, like, they're just like, you have to leave your phone
in the lobby
thing. And then leaves it, and then it's like stealing all that.
Exactly.
Right,
like
right. And they were blatantly breaking international laws. But yeah, like you said, Miles, if they had gone out of business, China would have absolutely felt the shit out of that. And so they basically, you know, called Trump's bluff and were like, hey, we don't want this. And he was like, okay, what can I do? How do I fix this?
Why, like, what does he gain? I mean, I guess so, personally his business gains, but
I mean, one of the examples people were giving was if China decided to say, okay, if you're going to do that, then we're going to say Apple can't make shit in our country.
Or
our country.
Right. And then now what are we going to do?
Yo, China got us by the balls.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah,
that's why everyone's like, why are you trying to puff your chest up with China? Like, that's like a losing battle. I mean, sure, maybe you could finesse something and get some kind of concession out, but that's not the smartest move. But this administration isn't about the smartest moves. Another thing, too, is they say maybe this is just basically to get China to really help us out with this North Korea deal, too, because we need them to lean on North Korea to kind of get the sort of concessions that we are looking for, although the Trump administration has been kind of redefining what denuclearization is like in the last weekend of sort of like, well, as long as they're not a threat to us rather than like completely shut it all down. And yeah, we don't know. Xi could have just been like, yo, Trump was like, yo, help me out really quick. There's many ways to look at it. I mean, but it's very hard to look at sort of this other $500 million coming in for like the Trump organization and be like, what's going down here?
Yeah, right. That's
the emoluments clause is, I don't know. It's just like not being even thought about at this point.
I feel like I ask you guys this every time I come on here, but what's it gonna take, man? Because every time I come on, you guys tell me about some wild shit that Trump does, and I'm like, yo, this is it. I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna get in bed, and it's this seems huge.
Yeah, no.
Is it huge? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how huge is this?
It's very, I mean, well, think about this. No president has ever, you know, they've sold their businesses off or put it into a blind trust when they come into the office because they don't want to have any kind of, they don't want to be perceived as being biased or any way can be accessed through their businesses. You know, like Jimmy Carter had to sell his fucking peanut farm and shit like that. And even so, for him to not put this company into a blind trust, his kids kind of run it. He's saying, I have nothing to do with it, but it's still the same board, I'm pretty sure. You know, the business is going on as usual, and he's still fully, that's his company. So it is very there's nothing normal about this at all. And it's precisely this kind of shit that stinks. And right. that's why we had laws, and I used air quotes for that.
Because they're weak as fuck.
Yeah, but you know, but no one's gonna enforce them. So I think really when the only thing I think is worth really focusing about is, well, what other checks can we have on the executive branch that we can do something about? And a lot of that has to do with voting in the midterms.
May I speculate?
Yes.
Please, wildly.
I went to a very Christian school, and they would do room checks every now and then, mm-hmm. where they would just like sweep your room.
Like prison?
Yeah.
Okay.
They would do room checks every now and then to sweep your room to see if you had like contraband, like liquor, weed, and stuff like
Quran
that.
Or something.
Right.
And everyone, a Quran, yeah. yeah. That was the worst one. That yeah. was expulsion with no expulsion, chances of return.
Yeah. Right. Harry Potter books.
Yeah.
yeah.
Harry Potter books. That, I mean, Jack. I was trying to go to school, okay? Yeah. Not trying to be a bad kid.
right, right.
If you had a Ouija board, woo, boy, you heard of the second commandment?
Yeah. So then we used to have friends on the inside that would like be like, yo, room checks happening at this time and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And rather than just get rid of like the weed and the alcohol and stuff, we would like be like, how much of this can we use before we have to get rid of it?
Oh, because right, right. you didn't have like a little dump spot that you could hide your contraband in?
No. So we were just like, yo, let's get as high as we can. Let's get as drunk as we can.
and then
that's
let
what
this room
it
check
feels
go
like. Down. Yeah, before this room check goes down. Yeah. That's what it feels like the Trump administration is doing to me. It feels like they know
right,
shit's
right.
about to get busted up, and they're just like, yo,
smoke
how many
the, right.
wins can we get in before this shit's done? Because it's right. so clear to me that they're like on this pay-to-play shit, and they're making all these backdoor deals. Like this Michael Cohen shit about yeah. like, I mean, it's
getting
so
money.
Clear that, yeah, everyone's getting checks. And right now they're just like, listen, this shit's fucked. Dean Granados is coming into the dorm. Let us smoke all this shit
yeah.
before it's over.
Mm-hmm. It's very, I mean, yes, it's very much like I think they know that there's a time limit.
Right.
And they know, they realize too, that there are many people willing to take advantage of their position in mm-hmm. the administration, or that now they are the people in power. And yeah, it's...
yeah.
Yeah.
So it's either outright corruption, like we're talking about, and, you know, trying to enrich the company that his kids still run. It's not like people are like, yeah, well, his kids run it now, and it's not like he would ever want his kids to be enriched. But it's either that or he is reacting to the fact that America is in a weak position bargaining-wise, which is a position that he specifically and explicitly put us in by, like, going to the mats with China. And,
yeah.
like, so... I don't know.
Like what his whole campaign was based off of.
Right.
Like he was talking that shit.
Talking that yeah. shit.
And then, yeah, just to be more specific, the $500 million is to the, like, it's a project just to develop major Indonesian projects that include Trump things. So it's not specifically all that, but he's getting a good chunk of funding. So I don't right. want to misrepresent what that total is.
That's wild.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. And we're back. Whoa, sorry. Scared the shit out of super producer Anna Hosnia.
You definitely yeah. did. She jumped out her chair.
All right. So we wanted to just give a quick update on Israel and the coverage of what happened yesterday. The New York Times was hailed for changing their headline. They changed it from Palestinian protesters killed as U.S. Embassy opens in Jerusalem. They changed it to Israel kills dozens at Gaza border, which referring to people who have been killed as dozens, it's like, I don't know what I was expecting them to like make it Baker's dozen of people killed
right.
by Israeli. They also, the New York Times is calling it rifle fire when it's sniper fire, like sniper rifles, which I don't know. That's just an important detail.
It's just a lot of they're just
a lot of softening.
Yeah.
They're obscuring a lot of what is going on there.
And so I admitted something this morning I'm not proud of, but I knew Gaza Strip, West Bank. I had a sense that that was where the conflict between Palestinians and Israelis happened, but I had never really like gone and read like specifically what is the Gaza Strip, what is the West Bank, and like where are they in the country and how it works. So in case anybody's as stupid as me.
And you call yourself a journalist,
right,
Jack?
I don't. Oh. So
and you call yourself a second-rate podcaster, Jack?
I do, yes.
Oh, okay.
I do. Thank
Go
you.
On.
So Gaza is on the West Coast. Their borders are completely controlled by Israeli forces, even on the ocean side. And they're basically being starved with an economic blockade. A guy named Norman Finkelstein, who is a leftish thinker, who has pointed out that 97% of the water in the Gaza Strip is more poisonous than the water in Flint. So
Jesus Christ.
Is why, and also Gaza is the most populated, most densely populated region in the world, because so many of the people have been, you know, forced out off of their land and into that small strip of land. So that's just to give you a kind of some context on, you know, who is going towards the fence and being shot by Israeli snipers.
Yo, where's Gal Gadot at? I don't know. I just don't understand. Like,
she's caping for the IDF, probably.
Yeah, but where are these like celebrity Zionists at who are like out here talking that talk? But when there's these clear, blatant, if this shit was happening in America, or I'll put it this way, and this might really get me into trouble, but if this shit was happening to a white woman, like, where the fuck would Gal Gadot be at? Like, you know what I'm saying? And like, right. it makes me so mad that they sit here and everyone's like talking about like these like anti-Semitism stuff and like trying to demonize the other side when we're literally watching people be slaughtered for just peacefully protesting. And I understand that some people might have gotten violent, but again, I've been listening to NPR in the car. And it sounded like these people were just like, yo, let's just demonstrate how hard it is over here.
Right.
And then again, and fucking sniped and shit like that.
Well, I mean, the conflict is pretty charged up that I can't say that it's like, you know, nonviolent in the sense that like it looks like what the marches look like in the civil rights where people just kind of, I mean, there's a lot at stake for these people. So
absolutely.
It's hard for them to do anything but literally try and fight for their existence.
They're running towards a fence. So basically Israel is trying to stop them from getting to the fence. As though if they get to the fence, they'll be able to like bust through and go directly into Israel. But there's like also another like thing they would have to get through, and then they could easily be arrested on the other side if they did make it through all of that. But we got some feedback from people who were saying that Israel should be allowed to defend itself, and complaining about, you know, what happened yesterday is, you know, missing the point. But I don't know.
Defend themselves against what? I would directly ask one of those people to tell me, defend themselves against what? What do you think these people are coming over there to do?
Right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Where are the numbers about the number of injured IDF soldiers?
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that there are different sides of the story that are being given, and it's hard to get a completely unbiased take on anything. But the bottom line is there were over 60 Palestinians killed by sniper fire, and there were,
including a baby.
Right, including a baby, and zero deaths or even injuries among Israeli soldiers. So that's not a fair fight. That's not self-defense.
Yeah, it's
killing innocent people.
It's pure hatred, because I was listening to an interview from the guy, and he was saying, like, basically my idea was, if there's a bunch of us, they can't stop all of us.
Right.
And when I was listening to that, I was like, this dude is talking about pure desperation at this point.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's just like, yo, I'm trying to get us a win.
All right, we're going to bring in super producer Anna Hosnia here.
Hi. I just want to say that a lot of people don't understand that there is a serious buffer zone between the Palestinians and where the Israelis are. Palestinians are zero threat to any Israeli civilian. They're nowhere near them. The amount of... But yeah, like what Jack was saying, there's a fence, and then there's like three other fences. So you can't just hop over and be
It's not like home improvement,
right?
Or a threat to any Israeli civilian. And it's not how it works. There's a buffer zone, and I think people need to understand that a lot of these people are just civilian. They're like older women. They're older men. They're, you know, there's young people too, but they're not people that could actively go and harm any Israeli soldier. So I think there's a lot of blind spots in the media when it comes to that. Is they're not really describing what's happening out there. They're just saying there's protests. You see a photo of people running around and smoke and stuff, and they're like, oh, it's crazy.
Oh, they're wilding out. Yeah.
That's not the full story. And I think that's
a serious problem. Hopefully what the media shift will begin to actually showcase, or rather illuminate for people, what the situation is for these people and why they are struggling to exist. Because I think we only look at it from one side in terms of saying, oh, these people were killed in protests and that's it. But it's not, why are these people protesting?
Yeah.
What is their life situation like?
Yeah.
What is their existence like? Are they being treated with dignity? Are they treated like human beings?
And well, I think here's what's going to happen. And I like that you brought up the civil rights movement earlier, which is like, I'm pretty sure back in the 60s, when niggas was watching it on TV, they was like, well, of course the firefighters had to hose them down. They were coming at them. Or of course, and like all those people now, and when I look at that shit now, and you know, my white classmates are all like, oh, well, you know, if I was there, I would have been upset and stuff like that. But it's happening now. And we're getting that side now, and we're doing the same justifications in our head now of like, well, the Israelis have to protect themselves. And 40 years from now, our kids and our grandkids are going to read all that shit and go, well, how could like, they do something?
Like,
yeah, why did they do that? Why did they sniper rifle them and stuff like that? And it's the same exact shit. We're justifying the same exact shit.
Right. If you just read quotes from Israeli forces, if you read quotes from... we've spoken anecdotally about friends who have gone to Israel for a little while and then come back. And it's clear that there is an ideology in Israel, in parts of Israel, in certain groups in Israel, that doesn't view Palestinian people as human beings. And you, like, you can hear it. In
the othering is very severe and... You know, it's dehumanizing.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And only a culture that doesn't view people as human would be able to justify, you know,
I mean, the only culture that
60.
Yeah, that's like, oh, the U.S. too.
Right.
With people of color.
Right.
So, you know, it's everywhere. You know what I mean? And so I think, God, this is all about, are we willing to look at people with dignity, or are we othering people so much that it's easy to perpetrate this kind of shit against
them.
And I also do want to remind everyone that these protests have been going on for weeks as part of the Great March of Return, versus a lot of people are being like, oh, they're just mad because the embassy opened.
Right.
It's like, no, they've been out here protesting
for years.
For basically since 1946.
Right.
Being like, you took our home away. So
in the past handful of weeks, 40 protesters have been killed by sniper fire from the Israeli soldiers, or over 40. So that is something that is fairly, I mean, it's not recent in the sense that there's been Israeli forces, you know, mistreating Palestinian people, but those protesters have been being shot for weeks.
Yeah. Also, there's no real excuse for live fire in this situation under any circumstance.
No.
Because you could have easily used a rubber bullet, knocked someone down, and killed no one.
Or just a lot of
anything.
Tear gas, whatever.
Yeah, anything.
Any other way to
you
disperse
people.
You
don't need to kill anybody, ever.
Right. Yeah. With sniper fire being the most impersonal, like, just completely removed. So you can't even say, like, oh, they panicked because they were, like, down there in riot gear and, like, the people were coming at them. No, they were sitting up in a sniper's nest taking people out.
Fucking trash.
Yeah. Speaking of dehumanizing people in these United States of America.
Yeah.
So, as
not to mention they're like redlining welfare for people in states like Michigan and shit. They're like, oh, if you live in the rural part, you don't have to work because that's mostly white. But if you're in the urban center, well, you better have a job if you want these fucking benefits. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah. So we've talked about how, you know, the idea of uniting all poor people behind a campaign for, you know, equality was Martin Luther King Jr.'s like
last
great movement, and was wildly unpopular and at the time. And then he was assassinated in the middle of that movement. He was in Memphis for a labor strike. And so there's a guy named Reverend William Barber who is sort of picking that fight up and organizing a large-scale, long-term poor people's campaign that is expected to last 6 weeks in 35 different states. And it started yesterday, and the Reverend William Barber, who is, you know, in his 50s and is disabled, like his legs don't work that well, he has ankle problems, was arrested and put in jail for, I guess, blocking traffic.
Yeah. Well, because yesterday there were, I think, demonstrations, like it says, in like 7 states, including D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, again, there's nothing more dangerous to this existing power structure we have in most of the world when you have the poor and downtrodden folk in masses realize who the actual people are that are keeping them down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's easy to divide people along race lines or along religious lines or whatever. And then
gender lines.
Yeah, whatever it is. But the second you put everybody together, it's like, holy shit. That's a very, very it's frightening to, again, the existing powers that be. And, you know, they're really trying to, again, with this poor people's movement, they're focusing on real, like, real issues that affect all people that are completely nonpartisan, like in the purest form, you know, like whether it's just focusing on like poverty for children, women, lack of access to healthcare or
education,
basic civil rights and things like that.
Right. People affordable not housing. Starving to death.
Yeah. These are like real issues that have nothing to do with partisan politics. And that's what is freaky because that resonates with anybody. You know what I mean? You don't have to be you can be starving and a Democrat, or you can be starving and a Republican, mm-hmm. and it really does not matter. So again, I think this is something, you know, we've talked about, and I really urge people to learn up about this, because I mean it's like one of the nice bright spots in terms of the kind of advocacy that's occurring around the country.
May I break it down for stupid people?
Yeah,
I had a friend in high school named. And my man was slanging his dick everywhere in high school, okay?
Gigolo?
Getting it. Oh, I mean, not a gigolo. He just had game.
Okay.
He had colored eyes. You know what I'm saying? There's always that one nigga who's just like, man, if you ain't have these colored eyes, you'd be a regular-ass nigga.
Yeah, I see you, Eric Sermon.
Yeah. But, all right, so he was slanging it. And what he would do was he would be slanging it with mad girls who were all in our school, and he would work effortlessly. Like, just, like, so much to make sure that they never, ever liked each other. So he would always be like, hey, yo, like, he said this shit about you. And, this shit about you. Hey, yo, these were these girls. And why he was doing that was because he knew if they ever all hung out, they would find out that he was fucking all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on here.
Thank you. Who are we?
We are you're Jack, you got a real and I don't want to tell you what happens to, but you got a real vibe.
Right.
I'll tell you. It'll hurt your feelings.
Okay. What happened to,
man, I can't believe I'm using these real names. We're going to bleep this.
Yeah, never mind. Let's move on.
No, I'll tell you what happens at the end. She was one who's played the most, you know, and then in the end, she just ended up marrying him. So.
Oh.
Nice.
But she ain't know the whole time she was being played. Everybody else knew.
I won.
You know what I mean? And that's what these white, like this 1%, this power structure is doing to us, is they're playing all of us. And what they do is they...
It's not us. It's the immigrants.
It's not us.
It's not us. It's Muslims.
You know why you're not getting jobs, white men? Because black people are taking them through affirmative action.
Because Black Panther came out.
Yeah, exactly. And then they make black men fight black women. They make everyone's fighting each other. And we're not realizing that this power structure is winning.
Boom.
And gets it in every night.
I'm glad you have a nice way to tie it all together for every instance.
Listen, I should have been an educator, but the problem is my metaphors would get me in trouble.
Right. You would use metaphors about the people in the classroom.
Exactly.
Like, look, we all know that is fucking everybody in
here.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa. How do you know that, Mr. Mumples? Look, I know.
Right.
Okay. Now, who's going to fight right now?
So you know how Ricky always be stinking all the time? Y'all know how Ricky always be stinking?
teachers really do gossip about that shit. We interviewed a bunch of teachers back at Cracked for a thing we were doing, and they were like, yeah, we gossip so much about the students.
Of course.
It's like pathetic.
Because, yeah, you realize, like, when that's your day job, it's almost like the kids are your coworkers,
right,
too.
Right, right.
Which is fucking absurd to think about.
But it's true.
But, yeah, high school students, you think your teachers don't know that you were, like, out getting fucked up this weekend? They know.
They know. And they talk
shit. They have, like, snitches.
Yeah. Oh, man, we had an epic. I remember my high school, we thought there was a narc because, like, the dean found out about a party and, like, sat my entire class and, like, we know.
Did you go to a boarding academy?
Nah, just a Catholic high school.
Oh, okay.
And everyone, like, we were obsessed with this idea of who the narc was. And it was like just this complete, it was like the fucking, what's that M. Night Shyamalan movie? Like The Village kind of shit, where like we were just sort of like fearing a thing that did not exist that we had self-created. I don't know if that's it sounds like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
That is what happens.
Yeah.
And it keeps them in that
thing.
Yeah,
and it keeps us in the thing. We're like, oh shit, who the narc? And like we were devising the craziest ways to party. Like
that's how my dad would punish us. He would come in and be like, I know what you did.
Right.
And then we'd be like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
How'd the teacher find out?
We don't know. I think it was.
Oh, shit. Damn. So it was a narc.
I don't know. Somebody. That's who we suspected, and then he got excommunicated from.
Was he always rolling around dressed up like a wolf?
Nah, he got in trouble for like having like he got in trouble for like bringing weed or some shit to school, and then so then
they
we were
had
like,
him. They yeah, were
that,
like, yo.
In our mind, we were like, you see, they already got that shit on him.
Right.
So the way
right.
he's gonna get out of it, like it was like a fucking RICO case or some shit.
Right.
It's a good movie. I think it's a good movie.
The Village?
I think it's a good movie. It's just
it's
weird.
It's solid. I think it hit people at a time when they were just like. Tired of his twist endings.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a better twist ending than fucking Signs.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought Signs gets a pass because it's just like where it fell in his career, and then right. The Village gets hated on, I think, too much. I agree
yeah,
with you.
But it's the message behind it is so solid.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I met somebody who passed out in the theater watching Signs because it was too intense for them.
Yo, that movie's so stupid.
And I will never respect that person.
Yeah, that movie's dumb.
And it was
I'm
the
sorry.
Part where the alien walks by behind the camera in the birthday party.
Yo,
shout out to my
the
boy.
Person literally, they said they seized up, like not had a seizure, but just like tensed up and then just passed out. And they had to stop the fucking movie so the paramedics could take this person out who couldn't handle an alien walking
That's
by
terrible.
In a home video of a birthday party.
Oh, man. Shout out to my boy Dean Dobbs, who I met. Very, very dope YouTuber. I met him at the Sundance Institute. We met because everyone was introducing themselves, and he said, I saw the movie Signs, and I wanted to make movies, and I busted out laughing because that was the dumbest thing I ever heard. But I respect Dean. I think he's so dope, Dean. But when you said that shit,
yet.
I was like,
I need to watch that movie again because apparently it's inspiring a generation of filmmakers.
Isn't that?
And if I don't appreciate it, then like I'm just like not gonna get movies for the next 20
Ryan
years.
Ryan Dobbs is
and be
dope
like, yo,
too.
What is this? And it's
Doesn't
all
it start
informed
off with,
by
like,
the aesthetic of science.
It starts off with Homeboy's wife getting crushed, right?
No, it ends with that. That's like a reveal towards the end.
You think it starts out like that because that's how Scary Movie 4 starts out.
Right.
It's the scene where he's just like, promise me you won't
That's
have sex.
Right.
And he's just like, move the car. Damn. Move the car.
That's a bad look when I'm conflating Scary Movie 4 with Signs.
I mean, it is. They're stealing that scene from Signs.
Well, of course.
Like,
yeah, it's like.
Those thieves.
Scream 2, I never remember the scene in Scream 2 where the knife goes through the person's ear because they put it up to the glory hole because of the scene where the dick goes through.
The guy's ear.
Is it Sean or Marlon?
I think it's Sean. I think
so. The Wayans brothers.
Shout out to the Wayans brothers.
Except
for
Damon.
That's where I thought that story was going to end.
Except for Damon Wayans. He's deep in that shit right now. Have y'all go Google Damon Wayans when you guys are done with this and see what's happening to him right now. He's getting roasted on Twitter.
Why? For the Lethal Weapon shit?
Yeah.
Because he talked shit about that one dude?
Everyone is blaming him.
For what? The guy getting fired?
Yeah. They all think it's Damon Wayans' fault. And niggas is just like, of course you do this. Oh, you're such a crybaby diva. Of course, the black guy would ruin this show. He is getting destroyed.
By the right wing or who?
I don't know. I guess niggas really like that show Lethal Weapon, and they like that dude, which is so confusing because when I watched the show, I watched it because of Damon Wayans.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I don't know who the fuck that dude is.
Right. Well, now they got Sean William Scott or whatever, right?
And people are so mad. They're like, I'm telling you, go on Damon Wayans' Twitter right now. Because he was trying to like release videos of like, what happened was they let that dude direct an episode. And then Damon Wayans got injured in the process and was really upset about it because people had told him, hey, don't do this and stuff like that. But the guy still was just like, no, I want to do this certain special effect. And it like cut into Damon Wayans' head.
Oh, no, not
like
that beautiful bald head.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go look at Damon Wayans' Twitter, and we will be right back. And we're back. And we wanted to talk about some movies. I took a look at the movies that are, you know, tops at the box office, doing BAFO-BO, guys.
Wow, BAFO-BO.
As the awful lingo in Hollywood.
Yeah, why BAFO?
Who the fuck?
Because they say that in political fundraising, too. It's like BAFO fundraising.
Ugh. What is that?
This means a shitload of money.
Yeah, good.
Done real good.
So we wanted to talk about The Quiet Place first because... you know, I talked about one interpretation that it is representing like white people's fear of, you know, PC culture. And, you know, if they say anything, then the brown monsters come for them and kill them. is how the New Yorker sort of interpreted the political ramifications, because horror movies generally have some sort of anxiety or like political, you know, underpinnings to them.
Right. It starts off with like a social anxiety that you grow into like this fear.
Right. And there's also the fact that they don't soundproof most of their house at all. That has nothing to do with what we're about to talk about, but that is just something that drove me crazy. There's a scene where they go and like hang out by a waterfall, and the waterfall is so loud that they can just like make as much noise as they want. And it's like, yo, build your house by the waterfall, right, motherfucker. Right, right. What are you doing?
And they would be
the only quiet place I like is the Take Six song.
Oh,
okay.
I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, no, good. Sick reference.
But yeah, so horror's always been a vessel for channeling political angst, like McCarthyism and Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Jaws is apparently about Vietnam. Hostel and Saw came out during the torture debate. And
oh shit,
you know, Get Out was Trump era social commentary, I think we could call it. Or just
commentary,
social commentary,
race relations. Yeah,
what happens when they stop blocking people of color from making movies? And it
that was a good burn.
And it was also compared, like, despite the fact that it was based on a 30-year-old book, people were pointing out that it's a bunch of marginalized losers fighting back against a malevolent clown. So we wanted to look at The Quiet Place because one of the things I noticed is even though it did huge box office in America, it didn't do that well overseas. And like if you look at the top 20 movies, like global box office, usually over 50% comes from overseas markets.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes it's as much as 99, obviously, because like some of the movies are just like big in China, movies that you've never heard of.
But, how did Get Out do overseas?
I think it was like solid, but not amazing.
Not amazing, right.
And A Quiet Place similarly did only 37% of its business overseas, whereas everything else in the tops was like 70, 80, 60 at the lowest.
Could it be because horror is like so culturally specific? Like
I think that's definitely true. So it's just interesting that it's like such a specifically American movie that it does seem like it's getting at some anxiety that is specific to America.
Yeah.
Other people were saying that it represents Trumpism in some way. Some people are saying it represents the experience of being an illegal immigrant in America because you can't make noise. You can't like go to the hospital because otherwise like ICE will come for you. And that's the interpretation that the director, John Krasinski from The Office, was like, ah, that's a fun one. He chose not to comment on the one that's about like white anxiety around PC culture.
Oh, the star of the Benghazi movie?
That's right. What I was going to say is like, I don't know. I've kind of spread around a rumor about him that he's super Republican because he was in that Benghazi movie and then he like is in the movie Detroit playing the lawyer that is trying to get those black kids to go to jail.
Oh,
and it's
really?
Like, you definitely didn't audition for this part. Like, you're John Krasinski. Your agent was just like, yo, look at these sides.
Right.
If you wanted this part, it's because you wanted it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no way.
Right.
So to me, it feels like he likes going into this conservative realm so much that I wonder, like, is he a conservative? I've tried Googling it and nothing's come up.
Hmm. Interesting.
I just look at him as Jim. Yeah. And I can't help. I. It's honestly hard. So hard for me to look at John Krasinski as anything other than Jim.
Watch Detroit and see how he's just like, why were they in that house? Do you believe these young black men had a gun? I do. And you're just like, there's conviction in this performance. Like, you know what I mean?
Like I believe
like,
him.
I believe him, bro.
Right.
I think he's conservative. And I think Emily Blunt is trapped.
She's trying through her movies to send messages to you saying,
to
rescue
Edgar.
Me.
Please.
Infinity War has recently overtaken Black Panther to be the most successful movie in the world this year. Black Panther also less than 50% global box office. So it's not as much as A Quiet Place, but still to a large degree more an American phenomenon than other countries, though it still did really well overseas. But now Avengers is the most successful movie in the world
In the world
with 66 percent of the box office being made overseas.
Jesus Christ.
It does make me wonder if it's getting at something, like, because it's sort of, and I don't want to spoil anything, but just tonally, it is the Empire Strikes Back of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's very, like, ends not in a happy place. And I'm
That's
just
a very good point.
I'm just wondering if it's resonating so well with people because, you know, it's matching how people are experiencing the world right now, how people feel about the world. The news does not have many happy endings right now for the vast majority of the people on the globe. On the globe?
Yeah.
Around the globe.
You know what? I think that's spot on, Jack. And here's why I think that's spot on is because you walk out of that movie wanting deeply to believe that it's not that way. That what you just saw isn't what's happening.
Right.
And man, that's exactly how I felt on that day.
Right.
Like, I remember like being like, nah, I'm going to wake up. Right. I'm going to wake up and this shit's not real. And I think that, that's exactly what that movie is tapping into.
Yeah. Mm. I wonder, like, because when I first saw the previews for this movie, I was like, you agree? When I first saw Miles on board. I was like, this just looks, I don't know, I'm so exhausted by Avengers movies. I just don't give a shit enough to, like, go see this movie. And then because of, like, that was before anyone knew how it was going to end or that it was going to be this totally different sort of type of plot. Then once it came out and had this sort of Empire Strikes Back style ending, it became like a monster hit. I do wonder if it would have been less of a hit, you know, like if we were getting tired of the Avengers thing and then they revived it by sort of completely matching how we were feeling tonally.
Well, I would even say, like, because, and again, trying to tiptoe around the ending, but also, come on, man, it's been out for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's still not enough. I get shit for spoiling The Sixth Sense still. So.
What?
Yeah.
When was the last time someone gave you shit for spoiling
on Twitter this weekend?
What? This fucking weekend?
Yo, yeah. Jack had the receipts. He said on Twitter this weekend.
Give me the handle so I can.
Let's roast this shit. Yeah, they're on the list. They're on the list on the next Culture Kings because they're dumb as fuck. All right, but tiptoeing around that ending, like, even now people are still like, well, I don't care because they're going to solve it in the end. Like, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah, like, which is exactly how we respond to the Trump presidency.
Exactly.
Like, and Mueller's like, coming to save the day.
Yeah.
With his time turner.
he's gonna get the Infinity Gauntlet.
Right.
But, like, I think that, like, what is interesting, though, is, like, what you were saying is that it's reinvigorated us to care about the Avengers universe in a way that Trump becoming president reinvigorated a lot of people to care about politics.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Because
there you go.
I remember specifically me being like, well, why will I vote? It's like a done deal, man. H, she's going to win. I don't like her. Mm-hmm. She's going to win and, like, whatever. And then when that nigga won, I was like, hey, yo, all right, tell me everything I need to do.
Right,
like,
right.
So I think Kevin Feige was definitely like, yo, how do we get people that care? Because we're definitely exhausted of these dudes winning all the time.
Right.
Jack, The Sixth Sense came out in 1999.
He's not saying that he cares.
I'm still blown away that someone is, this shit came out in a different century.
Right.
All right. Anyway, I'm sorry. I can wrap my head around.
The reason we talk about movies, though, on the Daily Zeitgeist is that I've always felt like movies are sort of a reflection. They're like cultural theories that you can almost read them like the dreams of the culture. So that's just why we talk about it. It's even though they are works of fiction, they sort of have been known to represent the sort of unconscious of the nation.
Art imitates life.
Yeah, and so just in terms of other movies that were bigger than I realized, Ready Player One is the fourth biggest movie in the world this year, which I thought it was like, did okay, but yeah, it did 573 bills. So
million?
No,
or billion?
Million, sorry.
Oh, whoa, I was like,
did $573 million.
A half trillion dollars. Yeah.
So just to put it in perspective, though, Avengers has made $1.6 billion so far. Black Panther has made $1.3 billion so far. And then the third place movie, Operation Red Sea, which I think is Chinese movie, has made $579 million. So it's like the two Marvel movies are like next level. Rampage, monster hit. So
good.
$398
well
million.
Played. Well played, my man.
Sixth most successful movie so far this year. 50 Shades Freed, the seventh most successful movie so far this year. And that's big overseas because people overseas are horny.
They like bondage.
Peter Rabbit. So these are all movies I think people need to see because
you need to
know what is going on with the people around the globe.
I don't need to. I talk to people.
Just watch the movies.
I don't socialize. According to Jack, I just need to see movies.
Right.
And then
exactly.
I'll know what's happening in the world.
Exactly.
So did you know there are monsters destroying cities in this country?
Pacific Rim was a big hit overseas and not in the United States. Pacific Rim Uprising. And Tomb Raider, also big hit overseas, not in the United States.
Really? Even with the reduced and
Regular bodied human being being
overseas
in the
was down?
No, overseas was big.
79%.
They were, that's 79%. What I'm saying. With the reduced breast size, they were just
they were
still in?
Yeah, yeah. They were...
Yo, just respect
America,
overseas.
Yeah, America is where they were like, man, what's wrong with her? It doesn't look anything like Lara Croft.
Right.
Yeah. Lara Croft is a video game, my guy.
Nice times up. Nice times up pin overseas.
Because of a mistake the engineers made.
Edgar, it's been a pleasure having you as always. Oh, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Edgar Montplaisir, on Instagram at Awfulgram. Please look out for this project, this mysterious project I'm dropping later called Sad Boy Edgar. And I guess I perform at UCB weekly.
You guess or?
Listen.
You stop playing.
All the days are blending together.
Yeah.
Man. Everything's theoretical, Miles.
Thank you. Thank you for putting that in perspective for me.
Miles, where can people theoretically find you?
Theoretically, if you wanted to use an application, theoretically, called Twitter or Instagram, you could find me, possibly, at Miles of Ray.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off.
Footnotes!
Wow. To the information we talked about in today's episode. And we also link off to the song we ride out on, which, Miles, what is that going to be?
Okay, so we are going to play a little track that's kind of a mashup of the lyrics from B.I.G.'s, or the acapella, basically, of B.I.G.'s Somebody's Gotta Die, over a beat that this producer made called J.H. Fly, or it could be Jeff Fly, I don't know. People have weird names, I don't know how to pronounce them, but this track's called Learjets and Coops, and it's dope, like a little flip of a B.I.G. track. So, yeah, Tuesday, let's go.
Oh, all right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
I'm sitting in the crib dreaming about Learjets and coops, the way some troops and how to sell records like Snoop. I'm interrupted by a doorbell, 352. Who the hell is this? I get some quick cops, my shit. Stop the dogs from barking. My nigga Singer used to sling on the 16th floor. Check it, I look deeper, I see blood up on his sneakers, and his fist ripped the chrome 4/5. So I dip, nigga, is you creeping or speaking? He tells me C-Rock just got hit up at the Beacon. I opens up the door pitiful, is he in critical retaliation? But this one won't be minimal, cause I'm a criminal. Way before the rap shit, bust the gat shit. Buff won't even know what happened if it's done smoothly. Silencers on the Uzi. Stash in the hoopty, my alibi, any cutie. With a booty that done fuck Big Pop. Head spinning, reminiscing about my man C-Rock. Somebody got to die. If I go, you got to go. Somebody got to die. Let the gunshots blow. Somebody got to die. Nobody got to know that I killed your ass in the midst. Somebody got to die. If I go, you got to go. Somebody got to die. Let the gunshots blow. Somebody got to die. Nobody got to know. Explained our situation precisely so we know exactly what we're facing. Some kid named Jason.
in the Honda station. Wagon was bragging about how much loot and crack he's stacking. Rock had a grip, so they formed up a clique, a small crew. Around the time I was locked up with you,
true indeed.
But they gon' let me proceed. Don't fill them clips too high, get them bullets room to breathe. Damn, what was I? Yeah, went out of town, blew the fuck up. D-Rock went home and Jay got stuck the fuck up. Hit him twice, caught him right for the Persian wife. Pistol whipped his kids and taped up his wife. He figured Rock set him up, no question. Went him up, no less, get 50 shots in his direction. How many shots, man, nigga? I see mad homes. What kind of gas? Hitchling cops and calicoes. But fuck that, I know where all them niggas rest at. In the building hustling, and they don't be strapped. Supreme and Black is downstairs, the engine running. Find a bag to put the guns in it. Come on if you're coming. Somebody got to die. If I go, you got to go. Somebody got to die. Let the gunshots blow. Somebody got to die. Nobody got to know that I killed your ass in the mix. Somebody got to die. If I go, you got to go. Somebody got to die. Let the gunshots blow. Somebody got to die. Nobody got to know that I killed your ass in the mix. Bitch. Exchange hugs and pounds before the throwdown. How it's gonna go down. Ladies, niggas, slow down. Slow down. Fuck all that planning shit. Run up in their cribs and make the cats a man and shit. See, niggas like you do 10-year bids. Miss the nigga they want and murder innocent kids. Not I. One nigga's in my eyes. That's Jason. Ain't no slugs gonna be wasted. Revenge I'm tasting at the tip of my lips. I can't wait to feel my clip in his hips. Pass the chocolate. Tosh. Sing ain't lie. There's Jason with his back to me. Talking to his faculty. I start to get a funny feeling. Put the mask on in case this nigga starts squealing. Scream his name out, squeeze six, nothing shorter. Nigga turn around holding